Hi, Charles. How are you doing?
Mamie, I'm doing wonderful. And how are you this morning?
Good. I'm glad you could join us here on Sunday morning. This is really something that's close to my heart. I have a real soft spot for veterans and the way they're being treated. And frankly, I think it's just aberrant the way that the VA has been treating veterans. What is going on?
Well, actually, Mamie, the VA is a very large health system in the United States. In fact, I think it's probably the largest healthcare system in the United States that has evolved since 1920 as a result of the concerns of the American Legion of taking care of veterans. And since that time, not only has the veterans population grown and the VA has had to grow as well. And today, as I said, the largest veterans healthcare system. And, we still got a lot of veterans from my era, the Vietnam era, not to mention and not to forget the Korea and the World War One veterans or two veterans. But out front, we got a new era of veterans, the Iraq, Afghanistan, the Panama, Grenada, Somalia, Lebanon veterans. So I think the VA is being more taxed now. So it has to grow, and it's a system that the American Legion truly believes in, since we have a vested interest from its start to take care of veterans. And we believe that what better system knows those injuries and illnesses like PTSD and TBI that veterans suffer from. What better system that has been treating them for so long that knows more about them? And we are friends with the VA, the American Legion is, and we're going to continue to work with the VA as we do every day. But friends are honest with friends, and when things aren't quite right, we're going to tell them about it. Because that's what friends do, and we as we did in 2014. So we're going to
I think that
continue to kind of hold our feet to the fire to
good.
take care of veterans.
Well, and we didn't mention at the beginning of the interview, but you're the national commander of the American Legion. You're saying that you're partnering with with the VA, and you mentioned PTSD. I know that there's always been PTSD, but maybe we haven't called it that, or we didn't recognize it the way that we do today. Are you still seeing that people, for example, as you mentioned, from the Vietnam War, dealing with these after effects of PTSD that are just now being identified?
Well, Mamie, I think you're right. PTSD, I think, was probably as far back as World War One. They called it shell shock.
I was going to
Of course, today it's got a different name, but I do believe that some of my fellow Vietnam veterans, I'm sure, unfortunately, suffer still from some of the effects of that. And of course, the American Legion, we have a committee to study TBI and PTSD and working with researchers, see if we can find an alternative way of treating that other than opioids, and sometimes those things lead to worse things. Unfortunately, there's an average of 22 veterans that take their life each day, one suicide is one too many. PTSD is something, and of course TBI. Those two injuries, by the way, are kind of the signature wars of the current conflicts that are ongoing. And we need to find better ways to treat those. And that's what one of the many things that the American Legion is interested in.
I think most people have probably heard the PTSD, which stands for post-traumatic stress disorder, but you say the other thing that you're saying, TBI, what is that?
TBI, traumatic brain injury, and that's as a result of like this, the ongoing conflicts. There's a lot of blast, that affect and impact near the soldiers and so forth. So that also has a great effect, injury on the soldiers and those who are serving.
Well, I know that you say that you are working with the Veterans Administration. Are they getting better at identifying and treating TBI and post-traumatic stress disorder, do you think?
Well, I think they are, you know, and of course, that's, you know, it's kind of, I think, hard to analyze. You know, it's not like a wound that you can see.
Right.
And of course, you know, and one of the things that we do in our assessments, our surveys throughout the VA, we do 10 to 12 system work-saving visits, and one of the things that we concerned ourselves with is the hospital properly staffed, particularly in the mental health area, to help, and particularly in TBI and PTSD and other things like that. And it's going to take some research, and there's ongoing research. It may not be resolved or a new treatment yet. There's some things that have been like the hyperbaric treatment.
Right.
That's still being used in some places. I don't know how the overall results of that is, but there's, from what I've heard, there have been some positive results of that. So we're going to continue to look for something to treat those men and women.
I think one of the things that has made me feel the best recently is I ran into a woman locally here in St. Petersburg who is ex-military, and she was a military nurse, who now in civilian life has changed really how she's becoming a nurse and is working specifically with men and women that have PTSD. And who better to have that perspective than someone who's been in the service? Is that a possibility to maybe see, because I know that a lot of men and women have problems finding jobs as they leave the service. Is that something that you're looking at as a possibility? I mean, the people who've been through this, helping the people who are going through it.
Well, I think that, you know, there certainly can be some things learned from those who have been in the military, and particularly as you cited the veteran who's a nurse and maybe had some exposure to that. Staffing is a concern. We want to make sure that the VA is staffed properly because of, you know, the quality of health care and also the accessibility, because I believe that if you don't have the proper staffing, then that's obviously going to back up the accessibility for veterans based on what their needs are. We do partner with the Department of Labor and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce throughout the United States almost on a weekly basis, having job fairs. And if I would encourage veterans with that experience to go to those job fairs, and often the VA will have a booth there soliciting healthcare providers. And, of course, there's other businesses, corporations that are looking for personnel in their respective specialties. So I think that would be a great opportunity to bring something to that initiative of working with PTS and TBI, particularly those veterans who have been near that, close to that, and have a greater understanding. That may be a very positive thing.
I know it's a great thing when you're in a restaurant, for example, to buy a meal for someone that you know is a veteran, and they're usually still active duty, because the way you know is because they're in uniform, and that's a nice thing to do. I've done it myself, but honestly, one of the best ways that we can thank our veterans is for employers to hire veterans and to provide jobs. Why is it so difficult when you get out of the military to find a job?
Well, I kind of experienced that myself, and you know, I sometimes think that maybe particularly if you've made a career out of the military, that you know, there's an old saying that, you know, that you're too old, you know, to learn. You know, well, a veteran, most every veteran has had not only discipline training, but training on a particular specialty. But in addition to, you know, they're trustworthy, they're loyal, they understand
right.
mission accomplishment, they're reliable. So, you know, I think those businesses, those corporations that are looking, if they want a quality employee, they ought to look and toward the veteran population. They ought to go to those job fairs that are set up for veterans, because I think they would find some true resources to help them.
I can't agree with you more. I would think, like you say, with the training that every veteran goes through, that they would be better employees than some 22-year-old that just got out of college. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with college, but they have a plethora of experiences and, like you say, that discipline that most young people don't have.
All right. Well, and you know, and that's kind of, you know, when you go into the military in those weeks of basic training, you know, that's kind of in a sense, kind of ingrained in you, and
right,
and not to mention, forget the word commitment. You
right,
know, commitment. You, of course, you take an oath when you enter the armed services, and of course, that commitment is not only to your country, but also to your respective service, but also an oath to take care of your buddies. So,
right,
you know, there's caring and compassion and all those other things we mentioned that, you know, would make, I believe, a outstanding employee.
I agree with you 100%. I know that almost 100,000 veterans have been waiting more than 5 years to have their veterans' disability claims finally adjudicated. This
right,
problem is going to get worse unless Congress passes laws that will modernize the VA. How do we affect those changes?
Well, you as a citizen, a voter, you can contact your representative, your congressman, congresswoman, as the case may be, and share with them your concerns. In respect to that, the Peel's Modernization Bill is one of the American Legion's legislative priorities. I might add that our legislative priorities are not just for us Legionnaires. They're priorities that we believe that America should entertain for all veterans. And, of course, as you mentioned, the appeals process. And I might say that appeals is a process where a veteran has filed a claim, and that claim may not be the decision that he or she was looking for, or it may be denied. Well, a veteran has a right to appeal that claim. And, of course, that requires more review, deeper review. And we have a legislative priority that back in October that the House of Representatives passed. The VA got together with some of the major service organizations and said, let's figure out a way to resolve this backlog. Well, they came up with a process that, interestingly, everybody agreed upon. And it was proposed to the House of Representatives in October of the 114th Congress. The House of Representatives passed that. Well, as you know, in the first part of November, and, of course, even leading up to that, we had a national election. And, of course, that took a lot of attention away. And Congress went into recess, and, of course, many of those congressmen were running for reelection themselves, so obviously they were out on recess. But then we had the holidays, and as a result of that, by the middle of December or so, the 114th Congress adjourned, and the Senate did not get an opportunity to entertain that appeals modernization bill. So now we got a new Congress, 115th Congress, so we have to start over on that bill.
Mm-hmm.
And recently we've gotten some traction that I think it's going to come, and if the House passed it once, they probably most likely will pass it a second time, and my meetings with some of the congressional members testified on March 1st in front of the Joint House and Veterans Affairs Committee of our legislative priorities, and that was one of our concerns. It's unacceptable that veterans have to wait so long just to get an answer.
It is.
So their appeals has been approved or denied. And what's sad about it is, in some cases, those appeals still waiting to be adjudicated will outlive a veteran. And that is sad, and that is unacceptable.
Totally unacceptable, I agree.
we're optimistic that it's starting to get some traction in the House, and I've had some discussions with Senator Tester of Montana, who's the majority leader on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. Let's work it and let's get it out of Congress and let's make it a bill.
So what we need to do is contact our congressman or our congresswoman and tell them this is very important and this is what we want them to back.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, and I look at those folks that my state sends to Capitol Hill. They represent a grateful nation. And I think a grateful nation wants and should take care of her veterans.
Exactly.
Not because I'm a veteran, but I think that's the right thing to do, because without them, we would not enjoy our way of life, those freedoms mm-hmm. and democracies that we've enjoyed since our lifetimes.
And again, if we want a strong volunteer military, then we need to provide that high quality of life for veterans and their families once they have given sometime, what is the saying, all gave some and some gave all.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, in the American Legion, we believe in a strong military, and, you know, and that's part of national security, national defense. And you know, in back in 1919, when those doughboys got together in Paris, France, on March 15th, to caucus about the concerns of one another and who's going to take care of them, they were also concerned about the future national security of the United States of America, because, you know, they fought the big one, as they say, at the end of all wars. But unfortunately, little did they know that a few years later, many of them would be right back over there fighting the same foe. But we believe in a strong national security, and that in also means taking care of the men and women wearing a uniform and their families, not only those that are serving, but those who have served and even those who will serve in the future. Because unfortunately, as long as we have conflicts around the world and American interests are at threat, we will have men and women, American men and women, wearing the uniforms of our armed services. So when we put them in harm's way, we ask them to answer the call, then we should answer their calls.
Exactly. I really appreciate the conversation that we've had this morning. Charles E. Schmidt is the National Commander of the American Legion. Thank you for sharing this with us this morning, and want to give you the honor that you deserve.
Well, thank you so much, and we appreciate your support and advocacy for America's veterans. And the American Legion has been doing that for 98 years, and we're going to do it way beyond our 100th birthday.
Thank you again. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much.
Perfect. You were wonderful. I really appreciate your time. It was a good conversation.
Me too.
Thank you, sir.
Me too.
All righty. Bye now.
Bye-bye.